Welcome to the Pulp-O-Mex bonus podcast app content. Lots of racing going on in Lakewood, Colorado, but there was also racing going on across the country at the famed Unadilla Circuit. There was a vintage race that sounded actually probably as cool as the Lakewood race, I think. And one of the guys that took place, and it's on the line, Ronnie the Dogger Lachine. Dogger, thanks for doing this, man.
Yeah, no worries. What's happening, Steve? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's cool. Hey, I saw some photos of the race online, a vintage race. Yourself, Jeff Stanton, looks like Donnie Hansen, Lackey was there, Guy Cooper, and yourself. So how did it come about? Like, how did you find out about it? What happened? How'd that happen?
Alex Moros from the Legends and Heroes Tour is the one that kind of put it all together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was in conjunction with an ARMA event, so it was kind of like you know, they had a Legends race in between, like as a a halftime show for mm-hmm. the ARMA race. So it was vintage racing on Saturday. You know, they ran their first set of motos for the vintage classes, and then in the intermission they ran the Legends moto, and then on Sunday it was post vintage. So okay. I think it's like up into 83 or 84. Same kind of deal. Ran their first motos, and then had the Legends moto. In the intermission, so
okay.
Yeah, it was a really good time. It was a lot of fun, you know, hanging out with some of my heroes and some of the guys that I raced with that I never really got a chance to, you know, hang out with,
right.
And just you know, on a you know a more mellow, more level playing field.
Yeah, was the track pretty much like a national track, like the same layout, same as you remember it?
Yeah, it's really pretty close. I mean, yeah, there's a few jumps that are a little bit different, but a lot of the turns are like exactly how they were when I raced it in, you know, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
The dirt was really good. It always rains up in New York, so
yeah.
You know, it rained a little bit on Friday night, and it was a little muddy on Saturday morning in practice, but by the time the Legends moto went off, it was just about perfect, man. It was really fun.
When's the last time you were at Unadilla?
God, I was running through my head when I was back there, and I'm thinking, you know, I rode the 1984 U.S. GP there. I won,
yeah.
And I think that was the last time I was there. And then in 1999 or 89, they were going to run a 500 U.S. or a 500 national there,
yeah.
And I broke my femur, I think, 2 weeks before that, so I didn't get to go back to Unadilla. So, and after that, I was basically semi-retired, and
wow.
So yeah, I hadn't been
Jeez.
Back there in a while, but I'm thinking 91, the year I rode the 500s when I came back. I don't know if they went to I don't think they went to Unadilla that year.
Yeah, I don't know, because it was on and off the schedule for around that time, the late 80s, the late 90s. So
mm-hmm.
you might have been there in 91 on the tough number 100.
Yeah, that's just a big fog.
But hey, so what'd you think? So you rode a Can-Am and you rode a 82 RM 250. Looks like.
Yeah. No, the Can-Am was awesome. You know, the team that brought me there came down from Canada. Oscar was the guy's name that Spike I rode, and man, the thing really ran good. It was fun. You know, it was. You know, obviously the suspension isn't that great, but it had good brakes, and the motor was awesome. I was super stoked with the motor, and it was pulling me up those hills good.
What year was it?
You got me there. I'm thinking like 73, 74, or something like that.
Oh, it was that old, huh?
Yeah, it was a Can-Am 250, and I'm thinking, you know, it was around a 73, 74, something like maybe that Semex, not Semex,
yeah.
But Ellis rode back in the day in the Supercross, Jimmy Ellis.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
So
you raced a total of twice, or how many times did you race?
Yeah, I rode twice. Like I said, I just rode each day. I rode the Legends race. I got second on Saturday to Cooper, and I got third to Cooper on Sunday, even on a newer bike on Sunday, and he still rode. He was hauling ass, and I can't believe how fast he was going. You know, rumor around the track was that they've been testing and preparing for this race for like 2 months, and if that's true, then you definitely could tell, because he was on a level. He won every moto I've seen him race on the track, and I think he rode 14 over, 15 over the Legends race. I mean, every time I looked out there, the guy was leading some race.
What kind of bike was he on?
A Bull Taco.
Oh, God.
Yeah, his team was like Team Bull, and it was like Trampas Parker, Cooper, and then a couple other guys that were made up of his team. There was like 10 teams, and there was four guys on each, and those guys would buy, you know, would contribute to getting us there. I think it was like $500 per person, the three guys. That $1,500 was used to, as our airfare to get us back there and the expenses, and then we were like a team.
Wow.
And everybody raced against, and they tallied your ages combined, your results time, and all that. They combined it all together, and then they came up with a winner.
Oh, that's cool. So your moto scores were 2-3 or 2-2?
They said for the Legends race, they were just going to give everybody 1 point because they didn't want to. I don't know if they didn't want to cloud it up with the Legends part of the thing, and they just give everybody 1 point for the Legends thing, and that kind of went off of the other teammates because there was more of those guys than than just our deal. But
sweet, and then and then Stanton was there. It looked like he had a old Honda or something.
Yeah, he rode a Can-Am on Saturday. We had a pretty good little battle going. He got by me early in the race. I got about a second place start, and one guy went by me, and then Stanton got by me, and then me and Stanton got back by the guy that I think it was. I can't even say his name. Jorski.
Jorski.
I guess he's. He raced back in the day, too. But we both got back by him, and then I kind of hung in there behind Jeff and kind of watched some of his lines, and then I made a little push, and he started making some mistakes, and I got by him and got second. I think he got third on Saturday. So.
Yeah. And how about that 82 RM? When those things came out, man, they were bitching. How was that thing?
I wasn't super stoked with it. I didn't think it ran even as good as a Can-Am. I mean, obviously it was a little bigger of a bike and it had better suspension, but
I would think
those things. I don't know, man. That Can-Am motor seemed to pull a lot harder up the hills, and but it was fun. At that point, I kind of wore myself out on Saturday, or not wore myself out, but my back, like from jumping that damn Can-Am out of the gravity cavity and a couple of these other jumps, man, because I was pushing pretty hard on Saturday. I definitely wanted to try to beat Stanton if I could, and I was happy I did. But I was feeling it in my back after that race. And the next day, I was like, man, I don't want to hurt it any worse. And then it started raining right as we lined up. It hadn't rained any Saturday night, and then Saturday morning, I mean, the track was primo.
Yeah,
and they were calling for showers. So just about 1:30 when we got started to line up for our race, it started raining. So, it kind of had one main line, and it was pretty greasy. And so I just kind of played it safe and got out of there without wadding it up.
Yeah, fun, though, overall? Good time?
I had an awesome time. It was so cool to go back there. And like I said, they made a pretty good they got the word out pretty well about the race, so a lot of fans came out that that I don't get to see a lot of the East Coast fans, and some guys showed up that used to come and see me race back in the day, and I hadn't seen them probably 10-15 years, so it was really cool.
And I guess the track probably brought back some memories of Screw You, Gravity Cavity.
Yeah, they didn't run Screw You. I think it's just with the vintage bikes, that thing was just too steep. So they kind of just came up that hill, and instead of turning right, they just kind of went straight up to the finish line. But, yeah, it's amazing that it's exactly the same as it was, and that, like I said, the dirt was just killer.
There's the one tree turn where the mechanics used to board by. That's gone now.
Yeah, that little switchback.
Yeah, it's gone. It was kind of like after you come out of Gravity Cavity, you make that right. And used to make a left and go by the tree, but now they just make you go left and pull out sooner and then drop down. But
no, it was the same. They ran it exactly the same as when I rode there before. It goes Gravity Cavity, and then it went right. There was a little bump, and then it goes left, and then around that tree, and then left back down.
Yeah. See, for the National, that tree's been gone for a few years. But I did pit board by that tree many times. And it's kind of funny because I used to see photos of guys like you and Chris Haynes and all those guys back in the day by that tree. That's funny.
No, it's amazing. Like I said, I got to take the Rhino or one of the golf carts all around the facility and see the. I never even knew they had a track in the back there. There's another track back there, and some of the new stuff they built, like that new announcing tower with that deck. I kind of went out on the deck and looked, and I'm like, wow, this is probably awesome at the National. You can stand right there where the first turn's coming and watch them through there, and then walk over the other side, and they're flying in and out of Gravity Cavity right at eye level. So yeah, it's a really nice facility.
And Cooper was untouchable, wide open, flat pancaking everything?
Yeah, well, I don't know about pancaking everything, but yeah, he was doing some cool old school whips coming out of Gravity Cavity, and yeah, he was really fast. I mean, like I said, I didn't see anybody even close to him. I mean, on the last day, you know, Jeff got out on a CR500, and he was, I wouldn't say he was gone, but he was leading,
uh-huh.
and Guy was battling with Carlo Cohen in second, and I was in like
Carlo
fourth.
Cohen. Yeah.
So, and I think around the last lap or something, Jeff pulled off and kind of went and high-fived the fans as he went around the track and everything and just kind of gave it up and let Cooper take the win, so.
Oh, okay. So Stanton might have had something for him on a 500.
Oh, yeah. Stanton had it covered in the last moto, but, you know, it's funny. He lined up next to me for the race, and I looked over, and his clutch lever's, like, pointed straight down, and I'm like, dude, you oughta. He's like, I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I don't know, dude. I'd be at least pulling that clutch lever up, and he hole shot it and took off, so.
You know, I was thinking about, before I did the podcast, yours and Stanton's career didn't really intersect too much, because when he came in, you were, you know, on another level than him. He was on a Yamaha. And then right when you got hurt was his year that he stepped up on the Honda. So you guys really didn't, like, cross paths too much.
A little bit, though. Like I said, I mean, I knew he was hanging around with Ricky. And that 89 year, like, once Rick got hurt.
Yeah.
And Wardy was already kind of hurt. And, you know, there was a few races there. I mean, like, my bike broke at, you know, Daytona, and he, you know, he took that win from me. There was an Oklahoma. I mean, I never really battled with him. I would either whip him bad or he would win, because if I was on, he didn't have anything for me. And then if I had one of my normal off weekends or whatever, tired or whatever, then he would whip me, you know.
Okay. It's kind of funny how that worked. Did you know him back in the day? Did you hang out with him?
Not really, but I did some supercrosses in Europe and stuff, and we kind of had some time then to you know, kind of get a bond. But yeah, I mean, this weekend it was pretty cool. He was over talking with me quite a bit, me and my wife, and you know, everywhere we went, he was around, and he was super nice, and it was cool to hang out with him. Like I said, he seems to be a really nice guy, and I wouldn't mind spending more time. And he actually invited me to maybe like a snowmobile race this winter. So kind of an invite Monster Energy Super or snowcross thing. So I'm kind of like, wow, that's pretty cool. I was pretty stoked on that, and maybe that'll happen.
Hey, you think you might do some more of this finish stuff? I know you did one in Ohio years ago with RJ and Burnworth and those guys, but. Or maybe Burnworth wasn't there, but RJ was. Is this something that you want to maybe do more of?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed it. You know, as long as, you know, it's the only really tough part about it is the bikes. You know, you just got to have somebody that's got decent equipment, because, you know, if you travel all the way back there and you end up with you know, subpar equipment, it doesn't make it any fun. You know, I mean, I guess you got to kind of go in, you know, with the attitude you're just going to have fun anyway, but it's not fun riding something that doesn't run right, or, you know, it's kind of scary or clapped out or anything like that. So it really hinges on the bike for me. You know, if I know I've got decent equipment, then it makes it a lot more inviting. But, I'd like to do Diamond Dawn's Ranch. I keep hearing they've been trying to get me out to that one out in Texas for the last few years.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just hearing and, you know, hanging out with Brad Lackey and listening to the stories from that one, that sounds like it's a pretty big hoot. And
Whose speed surprised you? Did anybody that, like, did you, like, forget about somebody, or was there somebody you'd never heard of?
I mean, if I had to say anybody, it'd be Cooper for sure.
Cooper,
you know, like I said, I mean, at his speed on that old bike, for sure. So it looked like they've definitely been doing, I mean, the thing looked like it was running good, and he was riding the shit out of it. So I was like, wow, he was hauling ass.
Yeah.
And then I think I saw him on a 500 RM or something in one of the other races on Sunday. And, you know, he was jumping some stuff. He was definitely pinning it.
Lots of fans get autographs and stuff, and like lots of guys talking to you about old times and all that.
Yeah, we did. Like, they had some brief sessions after the races that would go into the. They had a big tent set up, and yeah, it was a really cool weekend. Like I said, just getting together with all the guys. You know, I really enjoy Brad Lackey. I mean, he's a really funny guy and super nice, and just he's got all the stories from Europe and Trans Ams and all this stuff, man. And you know, we kind of hit it off, and you know, and my wife had a great time too.
Cool.
Just yeah, Yeah, it was super fun.
The old thing about going to Unadilla travel, though, it's one of the worst races for me to travel to all year. Like, you know, fly into Syracuse, connect, get to Syracuse, drive for a long time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Like I said, yeah, I did the same thing. I mean, I flew into Dulles, and then I went over to Syracuse, and we got the car. And,
yeah.
And but, you know, it is, I don't get up there very often. It's really pretty, and, you know, it's not too bad of traffic, a lot better than here in Southern California. So the driving was nice, and like I said, it was just kind of cool to take my wife there. I don't know that she's ever been there, you know, in that area. And, you know, this time of year, man, it's just green everywhere. And I mean, I'm looking at lakes. I'm like, man, wonder how much fish these things have in them, man. Everybody's got a pond in their backyard back there. It's like.
And then, yeah, for people who want to check it out, check out Legends and Heroes. That's where I saw the photos.
Legends and Heroes Motocross Tour is, I think, the site on Facebook. So, yeah, there's a bunch of cool photos. And
I just checked the stats. 1991, you did go to Unadilla. It was the final 500 national of the year, and you went 7-10.
Woof.
So clearly, it was the last one of the year, and you were mailing it in. Because
I forgot that one on purpose.
Kurt McMillan and DeHoot beat you, along with Kalos and Fisher. So not a good day for the last W at Unadilla. But,
no. I thought I might have went back there once, but, yeah, those were rough days for Dogger. He was definitely packing it in early.
All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for taking the time out of the day, middle of the day, selling Maxima oil. Thanks for taking the time to talk about the race, man. That's cool. And sounds like fun.
Yeah, cool. No, good to hear from you. And, yeah, anytime, bud.
All right, Dogger. Thanks.
All right, peace.
See you.